Excellent. Take your Bibles tonight, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. We're going to start with verse number 1. Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse number 1. And we're going to read a handful of scriptures. Stand with me, if you will, once you've found Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I think sometimes churches do good things, but so many times they ignore the most important things. The Word of God is always to be the prominent or the primary thing that takes place in church. So the nights that we'll, for instance, we're going to have a bunch of special music here in a few weeks. Well, we won't replace preaching with music. We'll have both. And tonight, again, we open the Word of God because it's so, so important. Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 1, it says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help us to be challenged. Lord, might our hearts be stirred. And God, stirred enough to change our lives. Help someone in a special and a personal way tonight. Spirit of God, do an eternal work. Give me the attention of the people, Father. I promise I'll give you my attention. And help us tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. I'm not able tonight to heal the cripple man that cannot walk. I can't do that. But I can help those of you who have been crippled spiritually. We can help you to spiritually get up and walk like you need to. I do believe in healing. I think God does healings. I think anytime you get better, it's God that healed you. And I certainly believe, I know that of at least one case in the last couple of years here in our church where I really felt like somebody's life, they were going to pass, and God got involved and answered prayer and spared their life. So I believe that God answers prayer, and I believe that God heals. But you know, sometimes when we think of healing, we think of it just on the physical level. But you know, God does an awful lot of spiritual healing as well. And the truth is, the spiritual is more important than the physical will ever be. So I can't heal someone. If you came tonight and you had broken your back and you could not walk, I could not help you to be healed and make everything anew. Now, God could, but I couldn't. But I do believe that God can help us all to be healed spiritually. In this story, Jesus enters a ship to sail to Capernaum, and after getting into town, they bring him a bedridden man, a man sick of the palsy. In other words, he was paralyzed, and they carried him in a stretcher, or if it had been modern day, they would have been pushing him maybe in a wheelchair. Now, Jesus notices the man, and he actually notices a man's heart. And that man, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. I think Jesus looked out, seen the man's heart. And in that man's heart was enough, there was belief. Because Jesus said, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, Jesus could do that. Now, I couldn't look out and see what's in your heart, but Jesus could. So here's a cripple man. Jesus looks out and sees him, and he can tell in the guy's heart. He said, that guy, he wants me to save him. And Jesus said, buddy, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And the guy gets saved. Well, there were some religious people there that got upset with Jesus for that. And let me tell you something. Anything that the religious people don't want to personally be responsible for, they turn it into an issue. That's how it always is. If it's something they don't want to do, if it's something they don't want to change, if it's something they don't want to have to sacrifice, they'll try to make you look bad because you believe it and you do it or you sacrifice it. Well, Jesus knew their thoughts. It actually said in verse 4, ye think evil in your hearts. In other words, this man obviously had a saving desire and had the faith in his heart to be saved. Jesus said, I'm going to save you right now. These Pharisees got upset about it. Jesus looked at the Pharisees. He said, you're thinking evil in your heart. And he asked them, he said, for whether is it easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to say arise up and walk? Then he really ticks them off. Because first of all, he saved somebody. That upset him. Then he said, watch this. I'm going to make it worse. Now I'm going to heal him and he's going to get up and walk. And they didn't like that either. And he heals this crippled man. So he saves him spiritually and he fixes him physically. But I love the words that Jesus used when he did it. He said, arise and walk. Arise and walk. And I think if the man were in a wheelchair, he stood up and he slid that chair away from himself and he took off. If he had come in a stretcher, I think he got up out of that stretcher and he walked. If he had come in on cane or crutches, he threw them away. Arise and walk. What powerful words. Powerful words. You know, I think there are Christians everywhere that have been knocked down spiritually. I wonder if someone tonight, I wonder if you're struggling with the palsy spiritually. I wonder if you're a bit, are you in a spiritual wheelchair? Are you hobbling along spiritually in your Christian life using spiritual crutches, if you will? I believe God wants you to arise and walk too. Maybe you need to hear someone say tonight, arise and walk. Whatever happened to people that believe that when the going gets tough, the tough get going? I heard that statement so many times growing up. Some of you need to hear that again tonight. Say, I'm going through a tough time. Well, when the going gets tough, that's when the tough get going. One of my favorite preachers used to preach a sermon called Knocked Down But Not Knocked Out. You know, you say, I've been knocked down. Yeah, but you're not knocked out. Get back up and get in the fight. That's what you need to do. I've heard this saying over and over again, a winner never quits. And a quitter never wins. Hey, did you know this? Winners do what losers don't want to do. Get it? Winners do what the losers won't do or don't do. Hey, I love a statement like this. And you just don't find very many people that think this intensely anymore. I more than one time I've said to myself, I'm going to do it or I'll die trying. I'll do it. Or I'll die trying. What has happened to that kind of tenacity in the Christian life? What is this business of throwing in the towel and so easily giving up? That you shouldn't think like that. We ought to, hey, arise and walk, Christian. Get up. Don't stay down. If you've been hobbling along because of a spiritual injury, arise, get up, get moving. And make progress in your Christian life. Don't let the devil keep you down. Arise and walk, Christian. God's saying, go forward. Get up and do something. Get up. And I think so often, we need to be reminded to keep on going for God. You say, I'm down. Well, don't stay down. Say, I've been down for a while. Then it's time to get up for a while. And those of you say, well, I'm not knocked down. Well, hang on, baby, your day's coming. You're going to serve God. You will get knocked around and you will get knocked down. I really believe courage is not so defined by those who fought and never fell, but those who fought and fell and got back up and tried again. Now, I think it takes a lot of courage to do that. Hey, let me just for a little while challenge you about this thought. Arise and walk. Arise and walk, Christian. For instance, arise and walk, those of you who have been knocked down by the devil. If the old devil has knocked you down, arise and walk, Christian. John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Listen, if the devil has knocked you down, I think he's hurt you enough. Now get up and start serving God again. Arise and walk. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's out to hurt us. If the devil has knocked you down, get up, Christian. Don't stay down. You know, it is the devil who tries to keep us away from God. It is the devil who tries to keep us away from church. It is the devil that keeps us away from telling others about Jesus Christ. He tries to steal our victory. He abuses our potential. He cheats us out of our abilities. He robs us of our accomplishments. What is it that the devil has crippled you about, and you're down and you're just barely getting along? Get up and do something for God. Get up and say, I'm not going to let the devil keep me down. There's some of you, nobody would know how heavy the devil has been in your heart, because you're smiling on the outside, but you're spiritually depressed on the inside. And may I say to you, you need to shake yourself and decide, I'm going to get up. I'm not going to stay in this mental state of depression. I'm not going to stay there. I'm going to get up and serve God. Listen, if the devil has knocked you down, arise and walk, Christian. Not only do we get knocked down by the devil, but may I challenge you tonight, arise and walk, those of you who have knocked down yourself. Have you knocked yourself down? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 25, it says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Huh. Oppose myself? Sure. Have you crippled you? Well, arise and walk, Christian. Have you messed up you? Well, I say to you, arise and walk. Just like the devil, he gets on you and he tries to knock us down. He tries to paralyze our potential. So we got to get up and say, you know what? The devil knocked me down. I'm going to get up. Well, there's some of you, you created the problem. You did it to yourself. See, you knew better than to behave that way, but you went ahead and behaved that way anyway, and now you're hurting because of it. Now you rolled the dice, so you're going to pay the price, and you're down about that. You said, I did it to myself. And sometimes we get depressed about that. We get to thinking, well, had the devil didn't slide this in on me, I seen what I was doing, and I did it anyway. Now I woke up and realized I should have never behaved that way. I made that terrible, terrible decision. I should have been more spiritual. I should have done it right. And so we spend time almost beating ourselves up. But let me say to you, arise and walk, Christian, even if your pain, even if your struggle is self-inflicted. You've embarrassed yourself. Well, arise and walk, Christian. Get up and get started again. Don't lay there. Get up. Arise. Say, I'll get up. I'll do or die. I'm going to get back in the saddle and I'm going to start serving God like I should. Right before the crucifixion, Jesus met with Peter and he said, Peter, you're going to deny me. Matter of fact, you probably denied me more than once, Peter. And Peter said, no, 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 no. Not me, Lord. Just a few hours later, Peter is denying Jesus. I mean, Jesus himself said, Peter, look in my eyes. Look right here. Look at me, boy. You're going to deny me. And Jesus said, I'm looking right at you. Uh-uh. No way. I'm not denying you. A little later, Peter's going, oh, brother, I denied him. I denied him. But you know what I like about it? Somewhere along the way, Peter said, I'm getting up. Say, how do you know that? Because when you get to the day of Pentecost, Peter preached a revival and had 3,000 people saved. What happened? He got up. Peter is the one that knocked Peter down. And Peter said, okay, I caused it. I knew better. I'd heard the preacher preach, don't do this, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't run with that crowd. I messed me up. Now, Peter could have said, I am so humiliated. Jesus himself told me not to do it. And I said, I got it. I've been in church for a long time. I mean, I was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I went to the Christian school. I went to the Bible college. I knew I heard the best preaching and the best teaching, and I knew. And I did wrong anyway. But instead of being so humiliated because he was so well trained and still goofed up his life, instead of being so humiliated that he never got back on track, Peter said, you know what? I'm going to put the personal humiliation beside. It is a self-inflicted mess that I've created for myself, but I'm going down there to Pentecost and I'm going to preach, and I'm not going to let my own stupidity and the humility that I face because of my sin stop me. I'm going to serve God anyway. Amen. Some of you, you goofed up. You know you goofed up. You're smarter than that. You're better than that. You've been trained better than that. You know better than that. And you're embarrassed by it. Can I tell you what to do? Get up! Get up and don't sit there and whine and use excuses. Hey, devil doesn't care if he knocked you down or you knocked you down. He just wants you to stay down. But might I recommend that you get up and stay up. Get up. Go forward. Arise and walk. Let me say next, arise and walk, those of you that have been knocked down by others. Others. The devil? Oh, he does it. We ourselves? We do it. And there are times when others hurt us. Lost people can hurt us. Christians can hurt us. Has someone hurt you, but you didn't expect it? Someone you love has hurt you, but you didn't expect it? I was thinking today of a Christian businessman. He had started a business and had a partner, and his partner cheated him out of thousands and thousands of dollars. This Christian businessman, friend of mine, who had been cheated, he got a bad attitude about it. He came discouraged. Wasn't long until he stopped coming to church, the midweek service, and then he stopped coming to church on Sunday night and barely came into church on Sundays and had a bad attitude during the preaching, turning his nose up and being judgmental with everybody and everything. You know what had happened? Somebody had hurt him. That hurt got so far out of control that his behavior had soured, and now he is a bad Christian. I wonder if that's what the devil wanted to get out of this thing in the first place. But I remember one day him coming to his senses. I remember him walking the aisle and getting on his knees, and I was shocked. I thought, he's coming to the altar. Long time since I've seen that. And you know what happened? I believe that God did a work in his heart. He realized somebody had knocked him down, but he needed to get up and not let the hurt of another stop him from doing what was right. Arise and walk. You say, well, Brother Owens, a friend in the church has hurt me. Arise and walk. Don't let that sour your entire Christianity. Hey, are you a lady that sometime in the past you've been betrayed? Maybe you've been betrayed by your husband and you say, I am hurt. I have watched people hang on to those kind of hurts to the point where they're virtually worth nothing for God because they let that hurt so overwhelm and affect their life that they never get on top of that thing. They never get victory. And I say to you, arise and walk. You say, well, it's my parents. I'm so disappointed. My parents have hurt me. My parents hurt me, and there are people in here that would tell you stories of parents that have disappointed them, parents that have hurt them. Let me tell you something, young people, and even those of you that are a little older. I mean, you're adults now, but you trace back and you say, boy, I just have bad taste in my mouth for leadership because my parents, the way they were. Let me tell you, don't you let that keep you from serving God. Arise and walk, Christian. Some leader knocked you down. You say, and I don't understand this. I don't understand leaders that don't give people hope. Well, I want to be a hope giver. I want to talk to people about conquering and succeeding in their life. But every once in a while, you come across a leader that they don't do that. They just make you feel worthless. They make you feel like you don't have a chance. They make you feel like you're a failure. And I want to spend my life telling people you can. I don't want to spend my life telling people you can't. You can. You can be a good Christian. And you can get victory. And you can be a good husband. And you can be a good wife. And you can be a good child. And you can be a good Christian. And you can succeed. You can. You can. You can. Hey, but you know something? Not all leaders work that way. Sometimes parents will convince their kids that they're worthless and they can't succeed. Sometimes leaders make everybody feel like everybody else is a second-class citizen and they can't accomplish and they can't succeed. But let me tell you something. Don't you let anybody knock you down. Arise and walk. If another Christian, if a leader, if somebody you love has knocked you down and you say, I feel a little bit crippled or paralyzed because of that hurt from another human being, I'm not going forward because of it. Arise, Christian. Arise. Get up and walk. Hey, the devil tries to knock you down. Arise and walk. If you have knocked you down, arise and walk. If another Christian has knocked you down, arise and walk. Arise and walk if someone has knocked you down and damaged your dreams. And you know something? Satan is a dream destroyer. He is an opportunity oppressor. He's a desire demolisher. He's an energy exterminator and a vision vandalizer. You know what Satan will do? He'll come along and he'll try to damage your dream for your child. And for some of you, you say, you know what, I had some dreams for my children. And some of you that have grown children to this day, you said, I had a dream for my child. And the devil got involved in that thing, and that dream has been beat up, and that dream has been minimized. Let me tell you something. That doesn't mean you ought to stop dreaming altogether. Get up and walk! I heard one of our good people say this. They said, I had some dreams about my children, but you know what? My dreams didn't come true. My children didn't choose to serve God, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do, preacher. I'm going to stay involved at the church, and I'll take my influence, and I'll try to help the kids that come to the church. And maybe I didn't do everything I should have as a parent when my kids were in my home, but I'll use the rest of my life, and I'll help and invest, and I'll help somebody else succeed. That's what you do. Get up, arise, and walk, Christian. How about the dream for your life? You say, Brother Owens, I had some dreams and the desires for my life, but they're crippled. Hey, arise and walk. Arise and walk. You dreamed of the storybook marriage in your life, but it didn't quite turn out that way. But you know something you're supposed to do? You're supposed to keep on going for God. You're to arise and walk. You hear about the woman that her husband passed. She went down to the local newspaper because it was time to print the obituary. She got there and the man said, well, the editor told her, said, well, it's 50 cents a word. She said, 50 cents a word? She said, I want mine to say, Fred Brown died. He said, that'll be $1.50, but ma'am, the problem is there's a 7-word minimum. But you are very good with money. She said, 7-word minimum. Mm-hmm. She scratched her head and she said, okay, make it say, Fred Brown died, golf clubs for sale. You say, I had a dream. You know, preacher, I thought I'd be in a different financial condition at this stage in my life. I really thought I'd have more money, and I'll tell you something. Boy, is the devil good at blindsiding us and the money not just working out the way we thought that it would. Let me warn you of something. If you're not careful and you have financial reversal, if you're not careful, you'll give up. And you just let it get worse, and then let it get worse, and let it get worse, and let it get worse. Let me tell you, you say, well, I've been hit financially, and I'm not where I feel like I need to be, and I don't have the money that I thought that I would have. Get up! Don't make it worse. Decide to make it better. Get back in there and fight the financial battle and get control of your spending and get control of your credit card and get control of the luxuries of life. Get up, Christian. Don't lay there in the muck and the mire of your defeat. Get up and rebuild your finances. I've watched many a good person go through financial reversals, but they had the good sense to finally say, you know what, I'm going to get it together, I'm going to shake myself, and I'm going to get myself back on the map financially. My pastor used to tell the story of a man that he knew that one day, he lost $7 million of his money. $7 million in one day he lost. My pastor said, I was so amazed by that man. He said within the year, he had put a speech together and they began to book himself to go around and do speeches. And people would pay to come and hear him talk. And he started a little organization. His speech was entitled, How to Lose $7 Million in One Day. And he taught people how not to lose their money. And you know what he did? He rebuilt his financial kingdom until it was worth over $20 million. You know what happened? He lost it, and he said, I got knocked down, but I'm going to let that knock down keep me down. Matter of fact, I'll let it motivate me to rebuild, and I'll use what hurt me as a tool to remake myself. I'm not going to stay down. And he went around the country giving lectures about how to lose $7 million in one day, and the people flocked to hear. You know something? Any man that could lose $7 million in a day probably has something he could teach you. You say, ah, that's silly. You can call it silly once you've earned your $7 million so you could have the potential chance of losing it. Arise and walk, Christian. I'm going to be finished, but let me tell you this. To some of you, arise and walk, those of you that have never walked before. Arise and walk. Because some of you spiritually have never really walked much. I'm talking about those of you that have never launched out to do something for God. Those of you that are newly saved, decide that you're not going to stay on the sidelines and just be a spectator. Decide you're going to get involved. Get up. Now you're saved. God wants to use you. God wants to, hey, God has a plan for your life. God saved you. Not only to keep you out of hell, God saved you because He wants to use you. I say to the new Christians, arise and walk. And let me tell you something, new Christians, don't wait forever. And I would recommend you not follow the example of everybody sitting in the church. Because you're going to find people sitting in this church and in every church in America, they've been sitting there for a long time. And they've been doing nothing for a long time. And they're very satisfied with that. But just so you know, God's not satisfied with somebody coming in, plunking her down in a pew, and just watching while everybody else does the work. That is not God's plan. That is not God's way. And what happens sometimes, young Christian, the older Christian, get to thinking they've paid their dues, or they think they've done enough, and nobody's ever done enough. So I would recommend that if you want to watch somebody in the church, you watch somebody that's involved and somebody that's trying to make something happen. You watch somebody that's faithful. You watch somebody that's decided they're going to be up, moving around, walking, participating. They're going to be a contributor. They're going to be a participator, not just somebody that's a spectator sitting in the stands. But may I say to every new Christian here, arise and walk. God has something good for you. It's a sad thing. It's usually easier to get the new converts excited about God than it is to get the older ones excited. Now, we've got some fine Christians that have been saved for a good while around here that are excited about God. But then you always have some that are numb. They've got every reason, every excuse, every hurt, every callous, everything under the sun as to why they are where they are, doing nothing. And you do it well. Arise and walk, Christian. You that have never experienced the winning of a soul to Jesus Christ, arise and walk and tell your friends about Jesus. If you've never experienced bringing visitors to church because of your influence, arise and walk and go get them and bring them to church. If you've never experienced helping to fill a bus, and I'll tell you something, folks, the minute I get more space. So you know, I've been talking this week about finding buses. You say, what for? So we can get more people. So we can reach more people. You say, well, what will we do with them all? God will have to figure that out. But you know, if you've never experienced getting involved in reaching people, there's coming a day when you'll get a crack at getting involved in a bus ministry. You say, what do I do? Arise and walk and get involved. You say, I've never experienced helping to build a Sunday school class. Well, hang in there. Make sure you stay faithful to church and learn to separate yourself from the world like I taught this morning, because there's coming a day when we're going to have a whole bunch of empty rooms that we'll put Sunday school classes in, and you'll be expected to arise, walk, and go build a Sunday school class. If you've never testified to your family to tell them about the Savior, it's time for some of you to speak up and tell your family about Jesus Christ. Now, if you got lost family, I didn't tell you to go tell them about all the separation issues of the church. I said, go tell them about Jesus. Get them saved before you try to get them shaved. usually a young convert wants to go down there and say, let me tell you about how bad you are. Well, I just tell them they're a sinner and get them saved before you tell them all the things that you think they ought to be separating from. It's easier to get a saved person to separate from the world than a lost person. You do realize that, right? But arise and walk. Those of you that have never asked God to use you to change someone's life, arise and walk. If you've never come to church enough to get some of the victories you need to have in your life, it's time to arise and walk. Have you ever prayed that you would make a difference? Arise and walk. If you're not saved tonight, you know what? You ought to arise and walk. Oh, now, you don't save yourself. He does the saving. But you need to come to the Savior. When I read the story, and I'm finished, I thought, here this cripple guy is. And Jesus said, I can see in his heart he wants to be saved. I'll save him. And the religious people turned their nose up at that. Jesus said, you don't like that. Watch this. Now I'm going to heal him so we can go do something. They didn't like that either. Let me tell you, everybody here, Jesus saved you so you would arise and walk and go do something for him. A lot of times churches don't grow because they get the first part. Jesus saved you. Jesus wants to save you. Folks, he didn't just save you to keep you out of hell. He saved you because he has a chore for you. And it's really not all about you. It's about reaching a lost and dying world. Arise and walk, Christian. Arise and walk, depressed one. Arise and walk, those of you that have self-inflicted pains. Somebody else has hurt you. Get up! You might be knocked down, but don't let yourself be knocked out. Remember, a winner never quits, and quitters never win. Winners do what losers don't want to do. Some of you just need to get a little of this in you. I'm going to do it, or I'll die trying. And for some of you, at your age, it's about time you conquered some of these things. Truth is, how much more time do you think you have? Some of you have used the same excuse for 20 and 30 years about some of the same stupid stuff. How much time do you think God's going to give you? You think you're supposed to take that weakness to your grave with you? Get up! Challenge yourself. Do something with yourself. Stop. Some of you are so satisfied with being average. And some, you think you're average, but you're below average. And the problem is you compare yourself to all the liberal Christians of our society and our community. I don't see a lot of fiery Christianity around here. We're living in a pretty lazy day. How often do you hear churches going around talking, let's have revival. Let's build bigger. Let's do more for God. And when they do want to build bigger, it's all about getting a big fancy building so they can impress the people across town. I don't care about any of that. I do care about reaching every single person that we can reach and having an old-time Holy Ghost revival where people are getting saved and lives are changed and families are refreshed. But how often do you really hear of that anymore in churches? Arise and walk, Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Our county, our state, they need the example of an old-time religion church that will get the job done for God. I would to God that we would be that church. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you saved? If you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you don't know that, why don't you come tonight? We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. You just come during the altar call. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, preacher, if I died tonight, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Well, God bless you then. Let me ask you this question. Is there some part of your life where you're down and you're paralyzed and you're a bit crippled in it, but it's time for you to arise and walk? Is it your relationships? Is it your marriage? Is it your finances? Is it something spiritually? Have you knocked yourself down? Has somebody else knocked you down? Did the devil knock you down? Have you had a dream knocked out of your hand and it's time for you to get another dream? But let me say to you, is there somebody here tonight that would say, I need to arise and walk in some area of my life? I've got to get up and get going again. I've got to arise and walk, and God has spoken to my heart tonight. Would you raise your hand to the sky and let God see it? I've got to arise and walk tonight. You may put that hand down. Do you need a moment at the altar? And don't be afraid to use the altar. And if it gets congested, you come as far forward as you can. And if you're not well and you can't walk far, kneel right there at your seat. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need to come and pray? Teenager, do you need to arise and walk? Christian, do you need to arise and walk? Oh, I wish that some of you deep in your heart would say, you know what, preacher? I can't wait till we can get enough space for that bus because I want to get involved. And I can't wait until we can start some other ministries. And I can't wait until we get those rooms so we could start some more Sunday school classes and I could learn to teach the Word of God. I'm going to arise and I'm going to walk. And I'm not talking about in your pride. I'm not talking about in your vanity. I'm talking about very humbly saying, God, I want to be used. Jesus looked out and he seen the man had been saved and he said, you know something? Not only am I going to save him, I'm going to get him on his 2 feet. I'm going to get him moving forward because I want him to accomplish something in his life. Arise and walk, Christian daddy. Arise and walk, mama. Arise and walk, teenager. Hey, youth department of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, arise and walk. Let's build a great youth department. Hey, Sunday school teacher, build a great Sunday school class. Hey, choir. Hey, music ministry. Arise and walk. Let's not be satisfied with being average. Let's not be satisfied with what little we're doing. Let's accomplish more. I believe that God will provide a bigger building for a church that's on their feet moving forward with the intent of arising and walking toward success for God. I'll do it or I'll die. Arise and walk, Christian. Arise and walk, business owner. Arise and walk. Get it together financially. Arise and walk. Some of you used to tell others about Jesus, used to be soul winners. You're not anymore. Arise and walk. This is the last time through the song. We'll pray and be on our way.